This program will pay anybody that lives outside of West Virginia and is a remote worker $12,000 to move there.
Pack your bags. West Virginia is going to pay you just to live in that beautiful state. Today, the governor, Jim Justice, announced a program called Ascend West Virginia. It'll pay you, if you're a remote worker, $12,000 over 2 years if you just move to the state and work remotely from there.
And then you'll also get a year of things like rock climbing and whitewater rafting and sort of like outdoor adventure type stuff. And it's all because West Virginia is facing a population decline that's the worst of any state. And so this is an attempt to sort of reverse those numbers and pay outsiders to move in.
It's a bold step toward making West Virginia the most attractive state in the nation. We've all known that we were the most attractive state. Now all we're doing is capitalizing on the world looking at West Virginia as that diamond in the rough that they missed.
But I really wanted to figure out who the program really serves and if it will actually help people who already live in West Virginia and all of these problems that the state has dealt with for so long.
Because we are fighting an epidemic of drugs due to those who didn't care, during a pandemic, during a recession. And that is the reality of the situation.
Because there was a lot of worries that this was more of like a tourism gig where people could come in for a few years and leave and that the state would be unchanged from where it was before.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today,
it was the biggest struggle of like my professional career to write about home. I kind of don't recommend it, but it was really important to me to tell their stories.
Mackenzie Mays on West Virginia's bold plan to lure white-collar workers into the state and what it means for the people already living there.
So West Virginia is one of the poorest states in the country. It's one of the smallest, one of the oldest. So there are some obvious reasons for a population decline, but one of them that really, you know, pushes it over the edge is this so-called struggle to stay that a lot of young people have heard about and know about well. I know all about it because I'm from West Virginia and I did move away a few years ago. And I wrote in the story that leaving home is not a new story at all, but leaving West Virginia feels really different. There's this sort of like sense of guilt when you leave, but also all these compounding issues like the economic issues that we are looking at right now that sort of pressure you to leave. So, you know, it gets really exhausting to only hear about West Virginia, your home state, when it's bad news. It's always we're at the very tops of lists, like worse for heart disease, opioid addictions, poverty, educational attainment, teacher pay, basically you name it. And it feels like we're always dead last or near the last. So I think that's why there's this resistance to this program, or also it just, you know, for a lot of the people I talked to on the ground in West Virginia, it felt like, you know, a betrayal.
I dropped out of college and I started in Milan at a young age, about 22 years old. I'm 23 now. I'm getting old, man.
So I went home for 3 weeks. And I spent some time in Morgantown, which is where I went to college at WVU. It's about 2.5 hour drive from my hometown. And I met some of the workers who are set to lose their jobs at the end of the month because this sort of like iconic pharmaceutical plant in the city is closing down.
You know, so that's, we're losing 1,500 to 2,000 jobs, but these are very, very good jobs for the area.
Mm-hmm. And so it felt really poetic that a couple miles from the headquarters of this new Ascend West Virginia program that's really, you know, trying to bring outsiders in.
You're going to hear this morning about a truly collaborative program. We've taken together state government, an institution of higher learning, and two incredible donors, Brad and Elise Smith.
You know, just down the road, West Virginians who don't want to leave but feel like they might have to in order to survive are filing for unemployment paperwork and things like that.
Are you committed to Morgantown?
I am. I'm born and raised. I live in the middle of a family farm. It's been our family for hundreds of years. So I will stay here. I will make a hell of a lot less money.
Like Chad McCormick, who's in the story, you know, he has things that tie him to home. He has a family. He has a family farm that's been around for hundreds of years. And I think, you know, some of the more critical people, and I saw it in some of the comments of the story, is like, why don't you just leave? Well, everybody doesn't really have the privilege of leaving. You know, you need a car to leave. You need a job to leave. And sometimes a lot of other people depend on you. And so I think he was a good reminder that even if you realize that, yes, I can make more money across state lines, that it's not always doable. They don't want to leave the state. They're not really criticizing it. They just feel overlooked and sort of left behind. And another union member told me, you know, we're not detaching from West Virginia. West Virginia is detaching from us, because for years and years, there was sort of this just ignoring away some of the problems from the officials in charge.
People look down on us a little bit because of the money that we do make within the community. But those people also need to understand that we're the reason the community is what it is. Or you wouldn't have Two Lowe's, you wouldn't have a Menards, you wouldn't have a Rural King, you wouldn't have Bass Pro Shop coming in. It's because we spend $220 million a year in this economy, and that's going to be gone now.
Coal miners make really good money, and I think the people in charge in West Virginia were able to just sort of ignore it away. And now there are all these people who dedicated their lives to this really hard labor and are feeling like they have just been dropped and forgotten. It was really important to me to ask West Virginians what they thought about this program, asking people to move into West Virginia. The program is really well-intentioned, private money from a donor who loves West Virginia.
Brad Smith is a native of Canova, West Virginia, a graduate of Marshall University. He has reached the greatest of heights in both the business and technology worlds, and he has spent his life trying to give back to the great state of West Virginia.
As soon as I saw it, and as soon as I saw the local commenters on local news stations about it, the gut reaction from people was, what do I get for living here? Where's my $12,000 for staying? And so that was sort of the sentiment, especially when people are going through something like losing their jobs at the very same time. And so it was sort of surreal to sit around with these guys and hear them talk about the advertisements, which are really well done. You know, West Virginia is a beautiful place aesthetically, and they just were sort of scoffing and cracking jokes about this because they're in a really low place right now.
If you have Starbucks stock, as soon as we lose our jobs, it's going down because he buys them damn things.
I buy yours too, for sure.
I appreciate it.
I have a couple questions.
And so they're pretty bitter about what the first city in line for this money that we're going to pay outsiders to move into, that's the city they already live in, and they feel like they're not being supported there. So they just think it's all pretty ironic.
In the burbs in Gaithersburg, but if you don't have to go into the office every day, then you don't have to be tied to a metropolitan area, right? So West Virginia is rolling out the red carpet for remote workers.
They're currently taking the first 50 applications for Morgantown. Up next will be Shepherdstown, which is less than 70 miles from DC. Then they'll take applications for Lewisburg, almost heaven, West Virginia. Would you do it?
So more than 7,500 people have applied for the first cohort. I thought that was pretty impressive because I live in California and a lot of people get confused that West Virginia exists at all. They think I live in Virginia or something like that. So thousands of people applied, and I did talk to a few of them. And a lot of them, it seems like, already have ties to the place. They might be like me and left, and now this is sort of a sign to go back. And one of the people who applied and is hoping to win the money is in the story, Jordan. He lives in Arkansas, and he spent some time there, went to college there, and he talks about this guilt and sort of this pull the state has to bring you back in. And he says he wants to be one of the young tech workers that moves back and makes a difference. And so, you know, yeah, I think there are a lot of people who are interested in moving there, especially now that the pandemic sort of blew open everybody's options. If you can work from home, it's like everybody's a tech worker now if you have the type of job that allows you to do it online. And then West Virginia's cost of living is incredibly low. And so I can see people moving from big, expensive cities into a place like West Virginia. I'm a trained skeptic, obviously, so my first gut reaction was to worry about the communities that are already there. On paper, it sounds a lot like gentrification. But then I talked to people who study this and only this. There's a Harvard Business School professor in the story who just studies these specific programs. And they popped up a little bit before this one, and there's one in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that actually is doing well.
The 100 applicants selected to be part of the Tulsa Remote Program are making their way now to Tulsa.
So those 100 people will each receive $10,000 for choosing to move here, thanks to an initiative by the George Kaiser Family Foundation.
There are things that they had to do in order to make sure it worked as well as it has so far, and that's like inviting community members to be in the selection process. But people have bought homes, people have started volunteering at the local schools, and we're talking about millions in tax revenue, you know. So there's definitely some studies and early signs of success. But at the same time, for skeptics, to them, they said, you know, this sounds a lot like trickle-down economics, and that's never helped us in a place like here. There were a lot of critics who thought it was misguided. And even though $25 million is private, they thought, well, we could have done something else with that private money.
Mackenzie Mays, thanks so much for sharing your reporting on this with me.
Thank you for having me.
Also, today, Americans are almost evenly divided over whether schools or most private employers should require coronavirus vaccinations as part of reopening. That's according to a new poll from Politico and Harvard that found most Democrats support forcing employees and students to be vaccinated before they return to work or the classroom and approve of government-issued documents certifying their status. Republicans, though, oppose the government or most employers infringing on their individual choice. The survey lands as Biden administration officials are working to turn around rapidly declining vaccination rates, but the administration has resisted a more aggressive approach, recently reiterating it has no plans to ask schools, states, or employers to require the vaccine. And House Democrats are calling for a 41% boost in education funding. On Sunday, they unveiled their plan to fund education programs for the coming fiscal year, proposing a $29.3 billion increase in spending for the Education Department. Under the measure, education would receive $102.8 billion, marking an increase of 41% over current funding. The bump mirrors what President Biden asked for in his first budget request to Congress earlier this year. Today's episode of Politico Dispatch included music composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and review and tell a friend to check out the show. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.